All right, so we'll say good morning. We are picking up today's daf is Lamed Gimel. We are picking up Lamed Beis on the Beis 32b. And we're picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So remember, again, we are discussing over here. We started an interesting case yesterday, which was the following situation. I have ultimately, again, Reuven borrowed money. Reuven lent money to Shimon. Just a very simple case. Reuven lent money to Shimon. Levi guaranteed the debt. So what happens? Levi pays off Reuven, and now Levi comes to Shimon and says to Shimon, "You need to pay me back." Shimon says, "I paid you back already." So Levi says, "It's true, you paid me back, but you then subsequently borrowed $100 again. So now you owe me money. So we'll say, so the shaila is, remember, so the fundamental shaila is, do we say that with the repayment of the original debt, then what? Then the document is no longer a usable document, that the shibud, the lien of the document, has already been cancelled, or do we say that the document itself is still in effect? So it says the Gemara, so shocha, we'll say, so lamed beis and beis, 32b, 2, 4, 12 lines up from the bottom. So what is the halacha? What is the status of such a setup, of such a document? What's the kasha? So says Abaye, I don't understand, we already dealt with this yesterday. What did we say, Rav Yosef? That in the Machlokes between Abaye and Rabba and Rav Yosef, that remember again, essentially we say what? We say, Amotzi Mechaber Alav Harayo. That whenever I am in doubt about the ownership and about the ownership of land or of money, the simple rule that I imply is, Amotzi Mechaber Alav Harayo. Wherever the money is, that's the presumed owner, and the burden of proof is upon the extractor. Therefore, again, says Abaye, in this case over here, it is the guarantor who is trying to extract the money from Shimon, the borrower. And therefore, again, the burden of proof is upon Shimon, the guarantor, upon Levi, the guarantor, and Shimon, the borrower, need not pay back in the absence of Levi, the guarantor's ability to prove his claim. Says the Gemara, but this is only so. This specific case is where, remember, the guarantor is saying to Shimon, the borrower, you went ahead and you borrowed from me again. In other words, that you paid back the money. So remember, the guarantor is admitting, you paid me back the money, and now what? And then you borrowed again from me. So that's what we'll say is when this discussion comes up about whether or not the lien of the document, or say the power of the document, is still intact. However, again, about Amrlei Hadrasinu Nahalach Machmas Tavu Shayfi Vesumki Akati Isi L'Shibudi Dishtar. Rabbi Osei, listen to this. If ultimately, again, the guarantor, Levi, says to Shimon, Shimon, it's true, you came and you tried to pay me back, but you gave me coins. Rabbi Osei, Shayfi means worn out coins. Sumki means red coins. Now remember, again, in times of the Gemara, so currency was only valuable if it was minted, if it had an image. Over time, coins got rubbed out. So when they got rubbed out, they were pretty much taken out of circulation. So it says the Gemara, if let's say again, Shimon, the borrower, shows up and he wants to pay Levi, the guarantor, and Levi says, listen, I'm not taking those coins because they're worn out. Or Rashbam points out, if they were copper coins, and I guess copper over time becomes a bit reddish in hue, which again takes away from the value of the currency itself. So ultimately, again, if the guarantor refused to accept this money as payment, that means that the original debt is still intact. And because the original debt is still intact, therefore what? Therefore the shtar is still a viable shtar, and therefore the guarantor has the ability to go ahead and collect this debt from Shimon, the borrower. Fine. Rava bar Sharshum, nafek alei kala, the ka'achil ardiyasim. Suppose another interesting case. Rava bar Sharshum, a rumor went out about him, that he was consuming the property of Yisomim, consuming the property of orphans. Amar li Abaye, so Abaye said, Emali easy gufa de uvda hechiyava. So Abaye says, tell me what happened. In other words, how did this call say? Yes, Rabbi Bar Sharshim, tell me what the case is. Give me your side of the story so that I can understand what is going on. So it says the Gemara Amrlei. So Rabbi Bar Sharshim said the following. V'mashkanta hava nakitna me'abuhun diyasi. So what happened? I had received this property as a mashkanta. Now going back to our Baba Kama days, so the Rashbam points out over here, look at the last Rashbam, last line, mashkanta gaboy me'avuhun hava, the mashkanta de surah. Bosma, we're learning about mashkanta de surah. Mashkanta de surah was a specific arrangement where I would lend Reuven $1,000, Reuven would give me a piece of land, and I would get $1,000 of benefit from that land. It's called Mashkanta de Surah. So Reuven never actually pays me any money, but rather again, I get paid from the debt through usage of the land. So Rabbi Bar Sharshim says, here's the deal. I lent money to the father of these Yisomim, and we had a Mashkanta de Surah arrangement, which means I was going to use this land until ultimately the principal of the debt was paid off. Vahavili, Zuzi, was a type of lamed gimel lamed aleph. Vahavili, Zuzi achrina gabe. So what happens? So says Rabbi Bar Sharshim, but I also had another debt. Meaning I had two outstanding debts with the father of the Yisomim. So one debt was a mashkanta de surah debt, which was again, the arrangement was, I'm lending him X amount of dollars, I get to use the land for X amount of time, and through that usage of the land, the debt is paid off. I also lent him another $1,000. Zuzi achrina gabe. So, and again, and Rashbam points out over here, and that was not a collateralized debt. There was no collateralized debt there. Now watch this. Says Rabbi Bar Sharshim, V'achalta shnei mashkanta. Now here's what happened. Now I already finished up the years of the... So what happens? The father died. Father dies, meaning Rabbi Bar Sharshim says, my debtor, right? My borrower dies. The father dies. And he leaves them, of course, now the estate is inherited by the Yisomim. I had already finished using the property for the duration of the Mashkanta de Surah debt. But I still had this other outstanding debt. So what happened? I said to myself, Rabbi Bar Sharshim said, I made the following calculation. This is very interesting. Ima hadrona le'ar liyasmi, va'amina de'isli zuzi achrina gabe, da'buchum. So what happens? So Rabbi Bar Sharshim said, well, here's the deal. If I would return the land, and then tell the Yisomim, by the way, your father owes me another, your father owed me another $1,000. The estate owes me another $1,000. What's going to happen, Rabosai? What's going to happen? Amar Rabbanan, haba lipara minichse Yisomim, lo yifra ele b'shvua. Sir Bar Sharshim says, I knew that in order to collect that additional debt of $1,000, what would happen? I would have to take a shvua. Rabosai, why would I have to take a shvua? Because at the end of the day, you cannot collect from Yisomim without a shvua. So Rav Bar Sharshim said, I realized that had I returned the property and then lodged my claim for another debt against the estate, I could only collect that debt with the shvua. So I figured to myself, Ella, ach b'shei l'shtar, mashkanta, va'ochla shir zuzi. So Rav Bar Sharshim said, here was the logic I came up with. I hid my shtar, meaning the shtar mashkanta, which was the shtar about the original debt of the mashkanta de surah. And you know what I figured? I'll collect my debt through additional usage of the property that is already in my possession. It's a good svara. Well, we'll see if it's a good svara, but it sounds like a good svara. It's one of those situations where if you say it enough, it actually begins to sound like it's correct, right? But again, so what happens? Is chap over here is, I don't want to lodge another claim against the estate. So at the end of the day, the collateralized property of the mashkanta is already in my possession, Let me just keep it a little bit longer, get the benefit of that land that corresponds to the second debt, and as soon as my second debt is paid off, I'll give back the land to the Yisomim, and guess what? I no longer have to lodge a subsequent claim that would make me have to take a shvua. What's Rabbi Bar Sharshim's motivation, all of this is avoidance of the shvua. He doesn't want to have to go through the process ultimately again of taking a shvua, and therefore he just wants to hold on to the property. So it says the Gemara, Demigo, because Rabbi Bar Sharshim says, Demigo di iba'ina amina lakuchi yibiyadi mehemni, ki amina de is li zuzi gabaychu mehemna. So I'll say, so ultimately again, because Rabbi Sharshim says, because the truth is, really I should be able to collect this debt from the Yisomim even without the Shavua. Why is that? because at the end of the day, I have a migo. What's my migo? See, I've been using this land for 3 years. So I could just as easily claim that the father sold me this land. I have chazaka, it's chazaka sheishima taino. I could claim that his father sold me the land. So the same way I could claim that the father sold me the land, I should be believed ultimately again. No, the father didn't sell me the land. It's only collateralized land, but I'm owed additional monies from the estate. So both sides. So this Rabbi Bar Sharshum now tells this entire story. Now tells this entire story to Abai. So Abai says, so Amrle, Abai says, Lukucha biyadi lo matas amris. So Abai says, first of all, Rabbi Bar Sharshum, your logic is flawed. You don't have a migo over here. Meaning you could not have claimed that you purchased this property from the father of the Yisrael for one simple reason. Why? Daha ika ale kala. The Aradiyasmihi. So first of all, Abaye says, Rabbi Sharshim, you don't have a migo. Meaning, so we'll say, let's go back for just a second. Rabbi Sharshim has two parts to his argument. One is the logic, and one is the migo. The logic is, the estate owes me this money anyway. The estate owes me, I already finished with the Mashkanta de Surah. The estate owes me another $1,000. I already have a state property in my possession. Let me just collect the debt from this property. I'll use it whatever X number of years more, work off the debt, give back the property, Shalom al Yisrael. That's his logic. His halachic argument is that he feels he has a migo. What entitles him to go ahead and collect his debt from that land? Because I could have claimed, says Rabbi Bar Sharshum, that I purchased the land from the father. I've already lived here the years of chazaka, and the land is mine. And because I could have made that claim, I should really halachically be believed to say that what? That no, I don't own the land, but the estate owes me $1,000, and I'm going to collect $1,000 from this land that is in my possession. To which Abaye responds, Rabbi Bar Sharshum, the first part of your argument I hear, but your svara, your halachic argument is flawed. You don't have amigo. The reason you don't have amigo, Abba says, why? Because there is a call. Remember how this whole case started. Why did this come to Abaye? Because there was a call, because there was a rumor circulating that Rabbi Bar Sharshum was inappropriately holding on to land of Yisrael, which means that word is out that this land is not yours. Word is out that this land belongs to Yisomim. Since word is out the land belongs to Yisomim, you don't have a migo that you could have said that you purchased the land, because there's an active call that negates that claim. Elo, rather said Abai to Rabbi Sharshim, what is the halach? What do you have to do over here? Elo zil, ahadre nehele, you have to return the land right now. And ultimately, again, when the Yisomim come of age, you will have to take the matter to Beis Din. We'll say, take a look at Drash Bam for just a moment. Right, so fine. So therefore, again, number one, says Abai to Rabbi Sharshim, you don't have amigo. You don't have amigo, therefore you have to return the land. We'll say, if you skip down a little bit in the Rashbam, he says, Hilchach, Zil Hada Arli Yasmi Hashta, Vichigadli Yasmi Sheyu B'nei Me'avad Mitzvah, Tanei Ben Shloshes Veshana Ve'eloch, Tavichaye B'mitzvos, Ishtoi Dina Ba'adayu Ashtar Chovach, Sheyesh Lecha Alaviyem, Teshava V'titol Kedin Habal Lifra Minichse Yisomim, That's very interesting. Therefore, Abai says like this, you got to return the land now. Now here's the deal. You can't litigate with the estate of Yisumim until they reach the age of adulthood. It's a very important halacha. So even this idea that habali par minichse Yisumim, that you could only collect from orphans' property with a shvua, that's only when the orphans reach the age of adulthood. They don't all have to, but at least someone has to. So Abaye therefore says, return the land, and look, you're going to have to sit tight, because these so apparently were minors, and therefore again, you're going to have to wait till someone reaches the age of bar mitzvah, and then you'll litigate the case out with them. He says, fine. So we don't have to do the rest. So both sides. So therefore, bottom line, in the case of Rav Bar Sharshum, as much as his svara was a good one, Abaye said, halacha lemaisa, you have to return the land, you have to go up against the estate for the other debt that is owed to you. You can't do it now because the Yesomim are minors, but once they become adults, you'll take the matter to Beis Din, you'll be able to collect your debt with the Shavua and Shalom al Yisrael. Krive drav idi bar avin. What's another great case? Krive drav idi bar avin, shachiv v'shavak dikla. So what's listening to this? Drav idi bar avin had a relative who died, and he left behind a palm tree. Okay, left behind a palm tree. Rav Idi Bar Avin came to Beis Din, saying, I am the closest surviving relative. So this man must have died without children, without a spouse, or without siblings. So Rav Idi Bar Avin comes along and says, I am the closest surviving relative, and therefore I am here to claim the inheritance of the estate of the palm tree. Vahu Gavra Amar, Ana Karibna Tvei. And another guy shows up and says, no, Rav Idi, you are not the closest surviving relative. I am the closest surviving relative. So we'll say, so what happens? So the other guy went ahead and took the palm tree. Now both said, just to understand, look at the Rashbam here for just a moment. This is actually quite interesting. Also, Gavra Amar Anakriva Tfei, the other guy came and said, I am a close relative. Umitoch Shalo Noda Mikarov Yoser, Hichzik Osa Ish Bekarka, Lefi Shuhu Olim Yoser, Kid Amar Rav Nachman Lekamei, Gabi Ze Omer Shalavosai, call the Olim Gvar. Now we'll say, we are going to see, this is going to be a fantastic sugya that we are going to come to called call the Olim Gvar. Call the Olim Gvar essentially means whoever's stronger gets it. As well say that we're going to see that in certain situations in halacha, there is no proof. Meaning the legal system is kind of at a stalemate. Meaning we don't know who belongs to what. So the truth is, pretty much, they arm wrestle. You know, whoever gets there first, whoever takes the position. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Whoever goes ahead and gets it first wins. So we'll say, so in this case over here, what happens? This guy dies. He leaves behind the palm tree. There are no known living relatives, or I should say, no known immediate relatives. So Rav Idi Bar Avin comes along to Beis Din and says, I am the closest surviving relative. This other guy, the Gavra, shows up. I'm the closest surviving relative. So Beis Din says, we don't know. I'm saying like we, and obviously nobody's furnishing family trees or this or that to a whole bunch of different stuff. So Beis Din says, we do not know who is the closest surviving relative. So what happens? This other guy was stronger or faster or whatever than Rav Idi Bar Avin. So what does he do? He takes the palm tree. He takes the palm tree. What happens? Well, so listen to this. L'sof odilei diu karif tfei. So apparently, the Gavra has a guilty conscience sometimes later on, right? Probably Erev Yom Kippur. So what happens? Again, he's picking his dates from his palm tree, and he realizes it's not really mine, it's Rav Idi Bar Avin's. Say, Kozer Rav Idi Bar Avin, Rav Idi Bar Avin. I'm not even related. I don't even know the guy, right? But I saw there was a palm tree, right? So again, you are the closer surviving relative. The palm tree is yours. So Ukma Rav Chista Biadei. So Rav Chista went ahead and established the ownership of the palm tree in the possession, ultimately again, of Rav Idi Bar Avin. So which Rav Idi Bar Avin says, Amrlei Lehader Liperi Da'acha Me'ahu Yoma Ad Hashta. Rav Idi Bar Avin says, very nice, but by the way, the Gavra owes me all of the fruit from the day that he took possession of the tree until now. In other words, he owes me back fruit. That fruit, right? In other words, we'll say that at the end of the day, again, remember, now it turns out he lied. He had my palm tree this entire time. He owes me back fruit from the time that he took the tree. So the Gemara says, Amar, Zeu Sh'omer. So the Lord says, listen to this. Rav Chista is a little bit surprised at Rav Idi Bar Avin's statement. And he says, Amar, Zeu Sh'omer, my love, Adam Gadolhu. So Rav Chista says, is this Rav Idi Bar Avin, the guy that everyone says is such a great guy? Rav Chista is another way of saying, Rav Chista is saying, Rav Idi Bar Avin, that makes no sense. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, not yet. I'm sorry. So it says the Gemara, Aman Kasamech Mar, Ahai. So Rav Chista says to the father, Rav Idi Bar Avin, let me ask you a question. Who are you relying upon to go ahead and say that the tree is yours? Ahai. Upon this guy who's just now what? An admitted liar. So this guy who is an admitted liar is now the one whom we are basing your ownership on. So the Gemara says, Haka Amar da Ana Mekarav Natvei. This guy 5 minutes ago was just saying that he was the kosher author. So we'll say, so what is Rav Chista saying? Rav Chista is saying to Rav Idi Bar Avin, well actually look at Rashbam. Ahai. Rashbam says, Ahodos piv shemo de achshav sha'ata karav Yosef. So Rav Chista says Rav Idi bar Avin, listen, Rav Idi, who, what are we relying on, right? What are we relying on now to give you back the ownership of the tree? We're relying on this guy, right? This guy who a little while ago said he was the closest surviving relative and now is an admitted liar. So based on what he's saying, we're giving you the tree. So listen to this. He says, So this guy is now admitting that you are the close relative. Up until now, he was saying, I'm the closer relative. Says Rav Chisda something amazing. He was entitled to eat the fruit under the halachic principle of kol da'olam gvar, that when the halacha cannot decide a case, whoever is stronger gets the property. This is amazing. So Rav Chisda says Rav Idi bar Avin. So we'll say, now the Gavra, right, says, I'm a liar. Right, well, he doesn't say I'm a liar. He says, right, I'm not really the closest surviving relative. So Rav Chisda says, fine, Rav Idi bar Avin, the tree is yours. Now we'll say, when we put the tree with Rav Idi bar Avin, so ultimately, again, is that a halachic ruling? Is that a halachic ruling? And the answer is no. Meaning, there's no new proof that has come our way over here. What's ended up happening over here is a guy admitted to lying. So we'll say, when a guy admits to lying, guess what? We cannot rule anything on the basis of his testimony. Right? So we'll say, this gets much more complicated. Person can't self-incriminate. So says Rav Idi bar Avin, essentially what we're doing now with this palm tree is, we're gifting it to you. The Gavra, is gifting it to you. He's gifting it to you by simply saying, listen, I'm not really entitled to it. I'm gifting it to you. But says Rav Chisda, let's be honest. In reality, the guy is entitled to it. Why is he entitled to it? Because kol da'olam gvar. Because in any situation where the halacha cannot rule definitively on ownership, then the ruling is going to be whoever gets it, gets it. Well, in this case, the Gavra got it. So on a technical level, it's his. He's choosing now to say that he lied. Therefore, he's conveying this property to you, but it's almost as if what? It's almost as if he's giving you a gift. Almost as if he's giving you a matana. Now, because he's giving you a matana, that matana ultimately will give you ownership over the palm tree, but it won't entitle you to what? It won't entitle you to back fruit. Right? You don't get back fruit. Meaning, because again, his admission, Nabosai, what Rav Chisda essentially is saying is, his admission does not give you full retroactive legal title. What his admission does is it conveys to you present title almost betoras matana. He's giving you a gift, but it does not give you legal matana, legal status or legal right, legal title that you could go back and claim back fruit. We'll say that's the position of Rav Chisda. Abai Barava, listen to this. But Abai Barava say no. Abai Barava, lo svira lohu ha d'Rav Chisda. Abai and Rava vehemently disagree. They say, no, we do not agree with this position of Rav Chisda. Why? Kevan de odi. So they hold Rav Osai that once this guy is an admitted liar, then by definition what that does is, that does solidify Rav Idi bar Avin's retroactive legal right. It turns out then that Rav Idi bar Avin was really the owner of the palm tree from the beginning of this mice, from the beginning of this episode. Therefore what? Rav Idi bar Avin is in fact entitled to back fruit. Ultimately, again, for this palm tree. So both say, so fundamental machlok is between Rav Chisda and Abayim Rava. So ultimately, again, in this particular situation, where the original person lied, again, there was a case of kol da'olam gvar, original person lied, then comes clean, we give the tree back to Rav Idi bar Avin, Rav Idi bar Avin wants to claim back fruit. Rav Chisda says no, because you're not really getting retroactive legal title, you're essentially getting the conveyance of a present gift. Of a gift of a matana. Abai and Rava say, no, you are getting retroactive legal title. Nafkamina is back fruit. Rav say, how do we paskin? We paskin that Rav Idi bar Avin or anyone else in this particular situation would have been entitled to back fruit. We paskin like Abai and Rava. That if it turns out that ultimately, again, the original person lied, Rav Idi bar Avin was the original owner of this palm tree from the time that its original owner died, then Rav Idi bar Avin would in fact be entitled not just to the title of the tree now, but retroactively to back fruit as well. Good. Says the Gimel Amud Beis. We'll say Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Two dots. Ze Omer Shalabosai, Ze Omer Shalabosai. Supposed to listen to this. Reuben and Shimon. Reuben says, this land belonged to my forefathers. Reuben says, this land belongs to my forefathers. V'zeh omer shalavosai. And Shimon says, this land belongs to my forefathers. Hai aisi sadi davaseu. So we'll say, so call him Reuben. Reuben brings Eidos. Reuben brings witnesses that the land belonged to his forefathers. V'hai aisi sadi da'ochol shnei chazakam. I will say, Shimon, interestingly enough, Shimon does not bring Eidos that the land belonged to his forefathers. Shimon brings Eidos instead that what? That he's been there for the years of Chazaka. He's been there for 3 years. So we'll say, so the Shaila is, what do we do in this type of situation? So Rav Chista, Malo v'shaker. So Rav Chista says, that we'll call him Shimon, who's the guy who's been living there for 3 years. What incentive does he have to lie? Malo v'shaker, what incentive does he have to lie? Why? I boy amrle minach zabinta, v'achalti shnei chazaka. Because Rav Chista, Shimon could always say to Reuven, listen, I bought it from you. Right, I bought this from you, and I've been living here for 3 years. In other words, Shimon doesn't have to claim that this land belonged to my forefathers. Shimon could also make another claim that says, I bought this from you, and I've been living here the years of Chazaka. Where's your shtar? I don't have my shtar anymore. Why? Why? Because it's already been 3 years. People aren't nisar to keep their shtar more than 3 years. So therefore, Chista wants to suggest that in a case like this, we should believe Shimon, since he has the Eidos on the Chazaka. He could have made a claim of, I bought it from you. Therefore, his claim that ultimately it belonged to my forefathers is a valid claim. Abai v'Rava lo sir lo hadad Rav Chista. So we'll say ultimately, again, Abai and Rava do not subscribe to Rav Chista's position. Why? Because mali l'shaker b'makom idim lo aminan. Because they say that what? We do not say mali l'shaker b'makom edim. In other words, we both say this, we've seen this concept over and over again, which is that mali l'shaker, why should he lie? Which essentially is another form of migo, does not hold water in a case where there is contradictory testimony. So we'll say in a case like this over here, so you want to say that when Shimon produces Eidos, that says he's been living on the land for 3 years, and he says that the land I got from my forefathers, he should be believed because, why, he could have said, I bought it from you, Reuven. That's not really true. He couldn't say that. Why? Because it's contradictory testimony. There are two witnesses who are saying that what? That this land belonged to Reuven's forefathers. Therefore, I will say, in any case where there is contradictory Eidos, you can't say Mali v'shaker. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Rashbam says, it's three lines in the wide lines in the Rashbam. Mali v'shaker b'makom eidim lo amrinan, kilomar, kol taina sha'adam toyin kigon zeh, sha'amar shalavosai. Any situation where a person makes a taina like this, where he says, it belonged to my fathers. V'atarotza l'kaima aidi mali l'shaker, v'taina zu macheshes eidim kiyocho, lo meheimin alei, sharia eidim mi'idim shetaina so shaker, v'heich tekaimena aidi mali l'shaker, halo vadei m'shakiru, v'cheskas ha'shalo sholem enam klum, tavei chazok ha'sheni matayna v'alchi ilchasa. So what says, Rashbam ultimately says, that in a case like this, you can't say mali l'shaker, because again, let's just play this out once more. Reuven's saying the land belonged to my forefathers. Shimon's saying, and it's my land. Shimon says the land belonged to my forefathers, and it's my land. Reuven brings Eidos that says the land belonged to his forefathers. Shimon brings Eidos that he's been living there for 3 years. Who wins? Rav Chista posits Shimon wins. Why? Because Shimon could have said, because Shimon has the Chazaka for 3 years, and he could have said, I bought it from you. So because he could have said, I bought it from you, and he has the years of Chazaka, he wins over Reuven's testimony. So Shabbat and Rav said, what are you talking about? You can't say Mali l'shaker. You can't say, why should I? You can't say, he could have made the claim that I bought it from you. I will say, why? Because if he would have made the claim I bought it from you, then what? That claim could be refuted by the witnesses that Reuven brought, who testified to the fact that the land belonged to Reuven's forefathers. Therefore, again, Shimon has no migo. Shimon has no Mali l'shaker, because he cannot have lodged an alternate claim. Therefore, the Rashbam says, ultimately, again, erbi achazaka she'eni mataina. It would be a chazaka that is not bolstered by a valid claim, and therefore halacha lemaisa, at the end of the day, we establish the land ultimately again with Reuven. That in a case like this, we would ultimately paskin like Abaye and Rava, and Reuven in this case ultimately would be the one who would be awarded the land. Next, who darmali the chavre? Ma bois pahayara. Man goes over to us. Reuven goes over to Shimon. Shimon, what are you doing on this land? Amarle, minoch zabni va'achalti shnei chazoka. So Shimon says, what are you talking about, Reuven? I bought this land from you, and I've already been here for the years of chazaka. Also, I see sahadi da'achli tartishani. So we'll say, watch this. So now Shimon comes along. So we'll say, remember, Reuven says to Shimon, what are you doing here? Shimon says, what are you talking about? I bought it from you, and I've lived here the years of chazaka already. So it sounds like a good case. So what happens? Shimon goes to bless you. Now Shimon has to go get his edus that he's been there for the 3 years. What's the only problem? He's only able to get witnesses, who could attest to 2 years. They could attest to 2 years. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. So he's got witnesses who said that he's been living there for 2 years. Now, Shimon is running around trying to find testimony for year number 3, but he has not yet found testimony. He's got Eidos on the first 2 years, no Eidos on the last year. Amrav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, listen, there's nothing else to do in this case, but Hadra Ara, the Hadri Peri. Well, says Shimon has to return the land to Reuven, and he's got to return back fruit as well. Because also it turns out that's what? That he's been unable to go ahead and demonstrate and prove his ownership. So also remember again, in these cases, we know that Reuven was the owner of this land. I mean, it's always been known that this was Reuven's land. Now Shimon's claiming that he bought it from Reuven and he's been living there the years of Chazaka. He's only able to prove 2 years of residency. Well, 2 years of residency in Halacha does not give you Chazaka. Therefore, in the eyes of Halacha, he's a squatter. He has to return the land and he also has to return all back fruit. That's Rav Nachman. Rav Zavid, Amar Rav Zavid, Im Ta'an Va'amar Leperos Yaradati Ne'eman. So Rav Zavid said, however, he does have another claim. If he claims that he only went ahead and came onto the land to collect peros, to collect fruit, then ultimately he is believed. Now, we'll say, now what does that mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. We'll say, this is where the Rashbam gets widest. It's about 7 lines in. Amar Rav Zavid Itoin. Milsa ba'apei nafshe ha'hi. Vachikama. This is what Rav Zavid means to say. Imitchila vachikama. Imitchila kishataino balakarka. Ma ba'is pahayra. We'll say, if in this case, if when Reuben confronted Shimon and says, Shimon, what are you doing on my property? Ilo lo heshev leminach zabinta. So we'll say ultimately again, if when Reuven confronted Shimon, and Reuven said, Shimon, what are you doing on this property? And Shimon said, I'm a sharecropper, and I just came here to take my portion of fruit. Or you sold me the land for X number of years to collect the crop. Such a taina, such a claim, ultimately would be believed. Ne'eman, says Rashbam, b'masha'ochol ulamechol peiri dechabrei b'chino kidim afarish, sorry, skip line. B'masha'ochol mafreya, u'b'shvuas heses tezabinu minei, v'af agav dikasadi da'achino l'peiri, v'shein karka konilo, t'lochotzif inish l'mechas la'ara dechabrei, ulamechol peiros peiri dechabrei b'chino. We'll see it in just a moment. So before we read it in here, let's read it in the Gemara. So back up top. So Rav Zavid said, v'im ton va'am l'peiros rarati ne'eman. If, when confronted by Reuven, Shimon would say, you're right, it's not my property, but I came here, I'm a sharecropper, I'm your sharecropper, and I came here to take my portion. Or, you sold me the crop for X number of years, Shimon would be believed. After all, lav mi amar Rav Yehuda, so after all, didn't Rav Yehuda say, haiman dinokit magla vitovila, if you see a man taking, magla bosa is a knife, tovila is a rope, the amar ezel igdere ledikla diplanya, the Zabni Nehela, I'm going to go ahead and literally climb the palm tree of Ploni, of so-and-so, and cut down the fruit that he sold to me. What happens? Mehemen, he is believed. Why? Because lo chatzif inish, the gazer dikla delo delay. Because also we assume that people are not so chutzpahdik to go into someone else's field and take fruit that's not their own. Sefer Rabbi Saif, ultimately, again, we see Shimon in Reuven's field. And Reuven says to Shimon, what are you doing here? So again, remember, if Shimon can't prove if Shimon claims ownership, but he can't prove the chazaka, then of course he has to give back the land and he has to give back fruit as well. But if he claims, I just came here to harvest my fruit, right, that you sold to me, or I'm a sharecropper, Rav Zavid said that is a believable claim. Why? Because you already see, based on this other brisa, people are not so chutzpahdik to go into someone else's property to harvest fruit that is not their own. So says the Gemara, ihachi aranami. So I don't understand. Why don't we say something about ownership? I will say, if a person is not going to be a mechutzef enough to go out and take someone else's fruit, I would assume that's what? He certainly won't be such a mechutzef to take someone else's property as well. So why don't we assume that if somebody is claiming ownership over land, that taina ultimately, again, should be correct? To which the Gemara says, Ara amrina le achdi shtarach. No, because when it comes to land, Rabbi say, real estate transactions always have a document, or should always be documented. So if you really bought the land, that's fine, we believe you, but where are your papers? Right? Show me ultimately your documentation. I ihachi peri nami. So if that's the case, why don't you say the same thing by peros as well? Right? Why don't you go ahead and say the peros? Why don't you say by the peros? Go ahead and show me your paperwork as well. Shtara le peri. Lo avdi inshi. I will say people don't normally draw up documents for the sale of fruit. In other words, ultimately, again, payros transactions were very often done by word of mouth. Were very often done, I don't know, with a handshake or whatever else. People didn't have documentation for their payros. Fine. We're going to begin this case, but we're going to kind of stop mid-case. Hahud amar lechavrei, my boys bahayara. Man says to his friend, what are you doing in my field? Amar lei, minach zabnis. So we'll say, this case is going to take us down a different road, because here there's a dramatic change. So Reuven comes over to Shimon, what are you doing in my property? Shimon says, I bought it from you, and I lived here 3 years. I've been living here the years of Chazaka. I see Chad Sahada Ta'achlas Tlas Shani. So I say, ultimately, again, what happened? He brings one witness, an Eid Echad. He brings an eight echad to bolster his claim that he's been living there for 3 years. So one witness comes along and testifies about that he's been living there 3 years. So Savar Rabbana Kamei D'Abaye. So the Rabbana before Abaye thought to say the following: Hainu Naska de Rabbi Abba. Oh, this is the famous case of the Naska of Rabbi Abba. I will say Naska is a piece of silver. This is the Naska of Rabbi Abba. What's the case of Naska of Rabbi Abba? Tahu Gavra de Chatif Naska Mechavre. There was a man who took a piece of silver from his friend. Asa lekamei Rabbi Ami. The case came before Rabbi Ami. Havi Yosef Rabbi Abba kamei. I see chad sada demichtiv chatva minei. So ultimately, again, he brought one witness, and the one witness testified to the fact that party A took the silver from party B. Amar le in chatvi vididi chatvi. To which the quote unquote thief said, yes, I took it, but it was mine. So we'll say, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Hainu naskad Rabbi Abba. Din zeh tomo lo osu din shal naskad Rabbi Abba. Valo lilma mud Rabbi Abba hayu tzvichin de milsa de pshiti shi shal makarka. Acher shein lo shne edim. V'dumya ba'alma midamina noso. So we'll say, so the Rashbam says, by the way, and we'll continue this tomorrow, we'll stop over here for today, but we'll say, the Gemara is going to feel, as we're going to see in just a moment, well, we'll see it tomorrow, that this case is pretty open and shut. In other words, not the naskad Rabbi Abba, but the previous case, which is, Reuven says to Shimon, what are you doing on my land? Shimon says, I bought it from you, and I've been living here the years of Chazaka. And what happens? And Shimon brings an eid echad. Shimon brings an eid echad that he's been living there for 3 years. That's nice. That's good. But only one problem, which is what? Eid echad is not really a bona fide eidos. At least not enough to establish Chazaka. So from a purely halachic perspective, the case seems to be open and shut. But what the Gemara is going to suggest is that this case actually resembles the case of the Naska, the silver of Rabbi Abba. And Abba say, Mirat Hashem, we'll see the way that comparison plays out in tomorrow's daf. Let me just share with you a short idea on the parasha.